Hi, all you audio listeners. Meet all the video watchers. Introduce yourselves. I'm Ustreaming again. You know, I'm gonna keep doing till Ustream goes out of business. I don't know. No, I figure I might as well. I mean, I'm doing the episode anyway, and it makes me. I think it probably makes the audio one better too. Just like I'm probably more animated and stuff. So. I'm trying, I was on the 16:9 resolution, and I'm on 4:3, which I think is widescreen versus not widescreen. I don't know why that would matter, but I went to the 4:3, and, like, it had less of my apartment in it, so I thought maybe that would be better. I don't know. I suppose I could have said all this before I started the audio recording, but, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm only human. I'm as God made me. So we're on chapter 11. The last reading was a little longer. Again, I say this all the time, but it's just kind of how the chapters fall. Let the chapters fall as they may. So this one's actually a little shorter. But it's got some things going on. So 2 Samuel chapter 11. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. I like that little quote, the time when kings go forth to battle. Or you could just not do that. I like it. It's like, so it came about the time of the year when all the kings go off and kill people. It's like, well, you don't have to. Also, I like how it said, it specifically said that, like, when kings go off to battle, and then it said, David sent Joab. Like, I wonder if this is the Bible or whoever was writing it, like, kind of taking a passive-aggressive jab, like, calling David a wuss. He's like, so, at the time when, you know, most strong, you know, impressive, good leaders, those kind of kings, like, you know, a good king would go to battle. You know, but anyway, David didn't do that. That was kind of funny. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he just that's kind of random. So he just got up randomly and was like, I'm going to walk on the roof in the middle of the night. And he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent, but she sounded so ugly. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David said, I don't know. I'm paying you to find out who she is. I don't know who it is. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. So I guess that just means she was on her, you know, on her cycle, but it, like, clarified that, like, she was just getting done with her period, so it's fine, don't worry about it. Like, it wasn't gross. I don't know why they had to include that. And the woman conceived, and of what she conceived, I don't know, and sent and told David and said, I am with child. She was wearing an I'm with child t-shirt. with an arrow, like, to her uterus. I don't know why that shouldn't be that funny to me, but it is. I don't know why. I'm with child. And then the uterus is wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm with stupid, and it's pointing up. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. I demand you tell me this. He's like, you don't have to demand, I'll just tell you. You know, I'm not going to keep secrets. War's good, people are good. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? So anyway, so what's happening here is this weasel David got someone else's hot wife pregnant. Excuse me, I'm feeling a little ill, so sorry if I'm burpy. I probably could have gotten away with it with just the audio, but anyone watching the video, they would have seen. Anyway, moving on. So he got someone else's hot wife pregnant, and then in order to cover up for it, he sent for her husband and was like, hey, why don't you come home for a few days? You know, you've been fighting out there. Come home, you know, have sex with your wife a lot of times. And, you know, we'll have a meal or something. But it's backfiring because the guy, Uriah, is like this super decent guy who's like, I'm not going to go sleep in my house because, you know, there's people at war and they don't even get to sleep at their houses at all or something. I don't know. He's being like super nice guy, Uriah. He's being good guy, Uriah, whatever that meme is. And so I just think it's funny. Also, how much must this guy not want to sleep with his wife for him to not even go home and sleep in his, yeah, they must not like each other or having to fight or something. And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? David's like, yeah. And as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. Yeah, so this is all backfiring because Uriah is just the best guy. He's just like the nicest guy ever. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him in, he did eat and drink before him and made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. So then his next thought was, well, maybe if I get him really drunk, of course he's going to go to his house. But he didn't. He just kind of slept there. And what are you going to do? And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. God. So he gave it a good college try, as they say. He was like, well, I can't get this guy to sleep with his wife to save my life. Let's just have him killed. So he tells the guy who does his killings for him to send Uriah to the worst battle and then just leave him. Like, oh, you got this. Hey, this is a one-man job, one-man operation. You know, we're just going to get in your way. You go kill all those people who are armed to the teeth. And don't take a sword or a shield or anything. That's too easy. My cat taunting me over there. You can't see him, but he's just itching his little cat face. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the man, how did he know that? I don't know. Just an arrow that said like valiant men here. Like he assigned him to a place that was just a big target that had like a giant rock hanging over it. It's like this obvious trap. It's like, hey, Uriah, you stand over there on that big red X. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. So, mission accomplished. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, and if so that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So that was a weird bit of text, because I think Joab did something else. It said that Joab like did something else wrong, and was just telling the messenger, look, if he calls me out on this, then just tell him, like, you know, I killed the guy you wanted me to kill. So that should be good enough. It's kind of a weird inclusion. I don't really know the point of that. Also, it's weird. I wonder, so who's writing this or whose point of view? I guess, I mean, it's not really David's point of view, you know, because David wouldn't know. I don't know. I guess I don't think I have the time in this podcast to look at that part of it. Just look at, who was the guy I was talking about? Bart D. Ehrman. Just look at his books that I was talking about last week, I think. He knows more than I'll ever know about that. So the messenger went and came and shewed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us unto the field. And we were upon them even unto the entering of the gate. And shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants. And some of the servants, king's servants be dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. And, sorry, I thought I had a note, but I don't. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to the house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David did is displeased the Lord. So he kills... God, David is a complete asshole now. Maybe he always was, I don't know. But, so he gets a girl pregnant. He sends her husband out to die. And then he goes... After a few days, he comes by and he's like, hey, so, you still sad or anything? Or if not, you want a bone? You good? You fine? And then they do, and they have a kid right away. Just... Yeah, simpler time. Simpler time, I guess. So that's the end of that chapter. I mean, at least this displeased the Lord, I guess, but it's just kind of weird that someone who's talked to God, is God's chosen person, is, like, really shitty. Is just a terrible person. I don't get how that works. You know, I guess one downside of video broadcasting is if you don't get here right in the beginning, you're not going to know what the hell's going on. And, well, it's okay, because no one's viewing anyway, so it's, sorry, someone just come. Anyway, chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing. Scroll down. Save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come up to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Dun-dun-dun. Plot twist. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife. Thou hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. However, Howbeit, actually, but that probably means the same thing. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. It's fair. And Nathan departed unto this house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. And neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, before they, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will then he vex himself when we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." David said, "Ah, all right, finally. Glad that's over with." Now, and David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself. Well, he sort of did that. Changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What is this thing that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "Well, you know, when children die, I get hungry, I get a bread craving. So sue me." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me and that my child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.'" I love this. So David seems like some sort of a sociopath or something. He's like, "Yeah, I was hoping if I, you know, while the child was sick, if I acted really sad, you know, maybe God would spare the child, spoil the rod. but now that the child is dead, eh, whatever, who cares? What do you guys want to do? You want to go bowling or something?" It's weird. He just doesn't care. The child, normally it's the opposite. Well, maybe not the opposite, but kind of. Normally it's like the child's sick, you're like, "Crap, crap, crap." And the child dies, and then you're really sad because, you know, your child died. But David is like, "Well, the child's sick, I better be really sad so that I'm just going to not eat because the Lord, you know, maybe the Lord will spare my child." And then, yeah, sorry, I was finally yawned for like 5 minutes. And finally overtook me. And then the child dies, and David's like, "Oh, well. Guess that didn't work. All right." And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and he went in unto her. He's like, time to F my wife again. One of my many wives. And lay with her. And she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. I love this. Favorite part of this chapter. Cat, what? Cat just knocked something over. Cat, come here. You want to get in the camera? Come here. Come here. Come here, boy. Come here. I got him. Oh, man. I couldn't quite get him. He got away. You guys don't even believe that I have a cat. He doesn't have a cat. That guy doesn't have a cat. That's the sound of a man who doesn't actually have a cat. No, he's just a little camera shy, aren't you, boy? Aren't you, boy? What the hell was I talking about? Oh, yeah. This is my favorite part of this chapter, because there's this whole thing where, you know, David was a total douche, and the God's like, "I'm killing your child, and, you know, because you had sex, you know, you took someone else's wife." And so he kills the child, and then David just has sex with her again and says, like, "And a child was born, and the God loved that child." You know, it's like, I don't get it. What is the... So the first child is like, "Screw that child, I'm killing it." You know, no fault of his own, of the child's own. But then the next child is somehow like, "Oh, okay, fair game. I mean, I guess..." You know, if you've already done the sin, so you might as well, you know, reap the benefits now. It's so funny. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. No, I already said that. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Yeah, that's a weird little thing, too. It said the Lord wanted it to be called Jedidiah. And David's like, "Oh, yeah, that's a good name. That's a good name." So anyway, Solomon is my son. he named it Solomon. And then for some reason, it puts in this text about how Like Nathan, you know, because Nathan now is the one who talks to God. I guess Nathan is sort of the next Samuel. So shouldn't this book be called Nathan instead of Samuel 2? Samuel isn't in this book. He's no part of this. He can't be writing it still, I don't think. Unless he wrote it before he died. And was like, this is what's going to happen. All right, guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm just trying to see if my cat will get some camera time. But come on, kitty. Kitty, get famous. Come on, I got nearly zero viewers. I have over zero viewers. yeah, anyway. He's like, I got my own podcast. I don't need a podcast. I have my own podcast. I'm just stalling because actually this reading's really short. There's only one more chapter. Where the hell was I? I keep forgetting. Yeah, and Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of waters. So, yeah, Joab's been fighting this whole time, some city. He's been taking over some city, and he's finally making some headway. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and be called after my name. Cat, either shit or get off the pot. No, either come be a star on my podcast or stop making noise, okay? Okay. I in no way think it's ridiculous that I talk to my cat as though he can understand it. He just can. So shut up. I know what you're thinking. and David gathered all the people together. So this guy's like, well, I'm about to conquer this city. And if I do, then they're going to name it after me. So you got to get over here. So he is. And he took their king's crown from off his head. The weight whereof was a talent of gold with precious stones. Which the notes say that's 100 to 150 pounds. of crown on someone's head. That's got to be tough. Like, all day you're like, ugh, man, I'm the king. Oh, boy, am I the king. Ah, ooh, ee. Oh, I am so the king. He has, like, this crushed-in head that's just like, and he's never gotten up in his life because this crown is so heavy. It's 150 pounds on the top of your head. He's just like, ooh, ah. They just set, like, a toilet in his chair and feed him, and that he can't move because the crown's so heavy. And he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought forth the people that were therein, and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned unto Jerusalem. This is a little weird. Some of the notes for the Bible say that this is like David, like this is how he killed these people. He like tortured them and cut them with saws and all this crap. But I actually, just to show that I'm trying to be a little, I wouldn't say unbiased, but objective about what's in here. Because I guess my bias is definitely that I know this isn't, none of this crap is real, at least the paranormal crap. But from an objective point of view, I don't think that that's what that means. Like, because there's one commenter who says, you know, because he says, put them under saws, harrows of iron, axes of iron, and made them pass through the brick kiln. One guy points out the language is a little weird there. I think it just means he employed them as slaves. Because, like, that sounds a little too stupid that you'd, like, what are the odds that all these ways that he's killing them would be ways that they would also could also do work and it could be taken that way? Do you know what I mean? And he put them under saws and under harrows of iron. That just kind of makes it sound like he had them do all these things with these tools to me. I'm actually going to go ahead and say, because several of the commenters, and these are super Christian commenters, by the way. I don't read atheist commentary. Maybe I should, because they probably point out things I don't see, but whatever, who cares? I'm trying to be somewhat original. Even though, obviously, I'm sure everyone's already thought of almost everything that I think of with this. Anyway, because a lot of them are like, David is the cruelest person in the Bible for all this. But I don't know. I read it this way. I think he passed through the brick kiln, like he put him through a kiln. That doesn't, I don't think that's right. I think it does mean he just had him do all that work. Like he had him use axes and, you know, and thus he did with all the cities. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that's my judgment on that. I mean, I'm not saying I'm infallible, you know, but yeah, that's what I think. And so this is chapter 13. This is our last chapter. And it's, I think, the boringest. No, they're all the boringest. Sorry, I forgot. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. That's a terrible name. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. I love how it says, for she was a virgin. Like, if she wasn't, it'd be like, oh, eh. Well, I guess people put a premium on that back then. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab, so I like how it says friend, but that's clearly some relation. That's like a cousin or something. He had a friend who happened to be his cousin, two or four times removed. I don't know, half cousin. I'm terrible at family crap, but I think it's some sort of half cousin. Is that a thing? If you're half brother's, what? No. If you're dad's brother, I don't know. I'm terrible at this. I don't know. If anyone listens to F This Podcast, you've heard, you know, me and my brother talk about our shitty family before. They're not that bad, but it's just, they have no sense. My dad has no sense of any family or anything. Like, I don't know anything about my stupid family. So I'm just absolutely, I'm like a kid who wasn't taught language in time. You know, like they say there's that threshold of early years when you can learn a language. I'm that way with family stuff. I don't get, like, I have my brother and sisters now have kids and I don't know what they are. Like, someone will say my niece or my nephew. I'm like, niece or nephew? What is that? I don't understand. Anyway, I'm not trying to be funny. Like, it just takes me forever to figure out the meaning of these words. So Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of David's brother. Yeah, and David is Amnon's dad. So that's his cousin, right? If it's the son of his dad's brother. Yeah. I like how it says a friend. Why do they not? Maybe they don't have the word. Do they not have the word cousin back then? Did they not? Maybe that's what it is. Anyway, I just think it's funny. It's like, oh, I have this friend. You know, his name is Jonadab. And, you know, he's my cousin. But he's like, you would ever say that. Anyway. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And so Amnon lay down, sorry, I'm a little dry here, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon, like Alumnon, Alcoholics Amnonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Alumnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat it at her hand. David somehow unsuspiciously sent home to Tamar, saying, go now with thy brother, give thy weird brother's weird request, because you're not doing anything, and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. So no one's found this the slightest bit suspicious when he said, like, oh, I'm sick. I can't eat anything. Tell you, can you guys get my sister who doesn't live with us, my half-sister, and have her make me some food right in front of me with no one around? And then I'll eat. You know, was nobody. Nobody's like, how about you just eat food? Why do you, what's your problem? I don't know. People were very, very unsuspicious, I guess. Unsuspecting. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. Oh, now you're still not suspicious. Hey, every other man, leave. Oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Whatever you want, man. There's nothing going on here. random sister that was in another house that came over. I'm sure he had people in the house could have made him food. And now he wants all the men to leave. Totally normal. Not suspicious. I'm just trying to say this wasn't like an amazing plan. It's just that everyone is really dumb at that time, I guess. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, "Come lie with me, my sister." You could have... Look, I'm not trying to give you strategy on how to have sex with your half-sister, but if I had to put myself in his place, just hypothetically, I don't have a half-sister, so I can do that. It's not weird. maybe not adding the "my sister" at the end of that would be a good way to try to keep that not weird, you know? Like, when trying to do borderline incest, or I guess maybe it is incest. I don't know what the fine print on that law is, or that, you know, code. But when you're when you say "come lie with me," just stop it there. Just end it there. That's fine. Don't add the "oh, come lie with me, my sister who's related to my brothers, my half sister who are family and we have the same dad." Like, don't add all that. If anything, say opposite of that. Be like, "Hey, stranger, what's a girl like you doing in my room like this, making me food?" I'm just saying, tactically speaking, that's not the best way. "My sister." Why would he say that? And she answered him, "Nay, my brother, do not." Now, it makes sense that she would say "my brother," you know, because she would want to emphasize that connection. You know, so he should say, like, "Hey, come lie with me, person I don't know." You know what he should have done? Oh, man. I say this is important. Like, this guy needs to think of a better idea to sleep with his sister. But you know what he should have done? It's been like, "Ah, I'm sick. I can't see. Oh, hey, you." You know, just be with something. Just be like, "I'm delirious. Come lie with me, stranger." You know, with a servant, handmaiden. You know, try to go that way. You know, and then she would say, "Hey, brother, relation of mine, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel." So he's saying, so we should leave Israel. Is that what you're saying? So we need to, in order to get this done, we got to get out of town. "Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel." Because fools have sex with their half-sisters. "Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee." The note said, they're not sure if the king would have actually married them, but she was trying to buy some time and, you know, get away, which is probably a good tactic. Be like, "Okay, no, just ask the king, you know, he'll let you have sex with me, I'm sure." Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And Amnon hated her exceedingly. So I guess he's really guilty. So the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, "Arise, begone." And then she said unto him, "There's no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me." I don't know. That's an interesting phrase. I'm not saying they shouldn't have included this phrase, because it's a very interesting thought at that time. Like, is that worse? Is she saying that potentially getting her pregnant and leaving her is worse than getting her pregnant in the first place? Which I guess is true. Or maybe, I don't know. Is that worse? Are you just dead if you have a kid out of wedlock or something? I don't know. I'm not sure what they're going for there. Interesting thought, but probably not. I'd say probably the original incest is probably the problem. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, "Put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her." And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. And then the servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head, I'm not sure why, and rent her garment of diverse colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. Sorry, my ears killing me, these earphones, headphones. Why are you hurting? And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "Hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee?" Because that's the first thing you'd say. So that sort of implies he had his suspicions. You know what I mean? If that's the first thing that happened, like, she comes out the door looking upset, and he goes, "Hey, did your brother sleep with you?" It's like, if that's your first thought, then you knew a little more than you were letting on. Maybe you should have done something. I don't know. Because that the only excuse for not doing something is that that was the last thing from your mind, the furthest thing from your mind. Being like, "Hey, why are you upset? Did something happen? Did you, you know?" Not, "Hey, why are you upset? Did your brother have sex with you?" That's a sign that you maybe were knew more than you thought. Anyway, I'm having a terrible time figuring out where I am. I think it's because this time I didn't make notes really. I didn't make a lot of notes. I'm kind of just pulling stuff out of my butt. So I keep stopping and then I don't have it written down where I stopped. But that's not interesting. And Absalom. Okay. "But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing." He doesn't even wait for her to answer. He just says, "Does your brother have sex with you? Okay, I know what to do." Like, he doesn't even need an answer. "So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth, very Davidly wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. Absalom hated Amnon because he forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass after 2 full years, they let this sit. 2 full years. That Absalom had sheep shears in Baal's Hazor, which is beside Ephraim. And Absalom invited all the king's sons, all the king's horses and all the king's men. They could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And Absalom came to the king and said, "Behold now, thy servant hath sheep shearers. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant." And the king said unto Absalom, "Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee." And he pressed him. Howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, "If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us." And the king said unto him, "Why should he go with thee?" But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant." So this is just a plot for Absalom to kill Amnon. 2 years later, I sort of think if it's been 2 years, you're over it, you know? I mean, not to say that it's okay after 2 years, but if you weren't mad right away, you know what I mean? Like, usually people get mad at stuff. They're the most mad, you know, starting off, and then kind of, not less mad, less mad, less mad. It's not usually 2 years later that you're like, "Oh, shit, you know what I just remembered? My brother had sex with my sister. Oh, I should kill him." That's not usually how it works. Weird. I don't know why the 2 years. Did people just have so much of nothing to do back then that, I don't know, maybe they got bored and were like, "Man, yeah, I've been thinking. I forgot about this. Let's go kill this guy." Or maybe they had so much to do. Maybe they had more to do back then. I don't know. They didn't have computers, so what the hell did they do? There's nothing to do without computers. Or like books. I know they probably had like 2 books, but that's it. So what did they do? I don't get it. Now I'll find where I am for an hour. Now Epsilon. It's spelled Absalom. Epsilon. No, Absalom commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is..." No, I already did that. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. I'm getting sick of these names. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass, while they were in the way, the tidings came to David, saying, "Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there's not one left of them." Why did that guy say that? Was there some reason to say that? To say all his sons are dead? I don't know, by the way. Sorry, audio listeners. The video is really skippy. I don't know if that's just me. Does that Does that come up for you guys that that does that too? Or not? I guess it doesn't really matter, does it? But sorry if it is. I don't know if that's my internet. My router is shit. I need to get a new router, I think. And then the king arose and tear his garments and lay them on the earth, and all his servants stood with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by appointment of Absalom this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar." What the hell is going on here? So there's one guy who said, like, "Hey, all your sons are dead, sorry." But he didn't know that, obviously, because all the sons weren't dead. They just ran away. And then another guy said, "No, all your sons aren't dead." Well, how did that guy know? Like, how did... What the hell is going on here? I don't get this. It's weird. He must have just been like, "Hey, douchebag, why are you telling him all his sons are dead? That you don't know that. In fact, they're not." But Absalom fled. And the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind them. And Jonadab said unto the king, "Behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, and so it is." And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. It doesn't say which son. I don't know if it's the son that died or Absalom. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. So it does look like David is longing for Absalom, the one who killed the other guy, because he's like, "Yeah, it's pretty messed up that you had sex with your sister. So whatever." All right, that's the end of the reading. Yeah, like I said, that reading was a little bit of a letdown, but hopefully it was still enjoyable. Yeah, there's incest. That's always a good topic. That's always a fun one. is there anything else to say? Yeah, sorry if this video was laggy. It's looking laggy to me. I don't really know what's going on there. Here, I'll try to fix that. Maybe if I close something. Well, I don't know why I'm fixing it now. Oh, actually, that seems much better. Was that what it was? I had another window that... Shit, don't tell me it was like streaming or something. Anyway, sorry if that was skippy. I don't think it matters. The usual suspects. Check out F This Podcast. That thing's getting really funny and good. We're making it a more formatted show. It's got news. It's got current issues. It's got, good dose of humor, I think. I know I'm just doing an outstanding job making a plug for it. This is the only thing. I can't think of words. I'm this right now. Don't have that much energy. I'm a robot. So I'm not doing the greatest job plugging that. But it's good. It's funny. I got a hot news girl. Please go to the like the Facebook page as usual. Got a couple more likes this week, and that's always good. I have way more subscribers than I do likes, so I understand that not everybody wants to have me on their Facebook, but I'd appreciate it. And that's what I communicate when I'm recording these and when I'm live broadcasting on Facebook. So that would be a good way to find that out if you wanted to watch one of these live. And please write a review on iTunes. Thank you to the latest reviewer. I really should thank a reviewer every time. Cyber Trucker, thank you for the very kind review the other day. That was nice. It made me feel good that, that you're listening to me and that you're liking it. I'm really glad. And now I feel bad because I'm not going to go through all these reviews right now because the people who I'm not talking about will kill themselves. But I'll go the last few. And I'll try to do these. Farron and Pete, thanks to you as well. And I'm not trying to get people just to kiss up, but just positive reviews help on the iTunes charts and all that. And I'm doing decently well in the iTunes charts, and that leads to more listeners and leads to more interest. And then I I don't know what. I don't just get out to more people, I guess. That'd be cool. Someday I want to try harder to become a more bigger part of the atheist, online community and stuff. But right now I have too many other hobbies. But at least I'm doing this now. I don't know why I'm rambling so much. I think because I felt guilty for only giving you a short, crappy selection of reading. But, oh well, I guess that's all I have to say. I'll see you on Sunday when we do F This Podcast. I will not see you, but you'll hear me later. And that's it. I'll see you guys later. Bye.